Hi, I'm Nancy Lotrich Anderson.
And I'm Ryder Taff.
We're financial advisors for New Perspectives Incorporated, an independent fee-only financial management company.
And this is Money Notes, 15 minutes of financial tips and conversations about money to help you save more, invest smarter, and live better financially.
So plug in your earbuds and get your notepad ready. It's Money Notes.
My name is Ryder Taff, and I am here today with Joseph Martin, and we are going to be talking about phone apps and websites that are going to help you with your personal financial journey. So to start off with, we had a couple of investing apps that are popular that we've used that we want to talk about. So first one, what is an investing app that you use, Joseph?
So two I've been looking at prominently are Robinhood and Acorns. They both have different premise and they both allow for different investment objectives, but they each have their flaws as well. Which ones have you tried?
So I have used actually both of those. Robinhood is great because it allows you to place trades for free. It doesn't charge any commissions. It started out phone only. They do now have a companion website. I have not actually used that, but often you see folks use it just to purchase one or two shares of something, which is a little difficult with a normal brokerage where you might have, say, a $5 fee for purchasing a share. And if that share is only 50 bucks, that's a huge fee for purchasing the share. One of the downsides, you mentioned all these have downsides, is that Robinhood sometimes encourages frequent trading. Have you used Robinhood yourself, or is that just one you've looked at?
I've used both Robinhood and Acorns. Robinhood, you know, is beneficial because it has zero fees, zero account minimum, and no promotion. So it really is like 100% commission fee stock trading platform. Mm-hmm. It offers options in cryptos and stocks, but no options in bonds or mutual funds. And its benefit really is like the streamlined interface. It's really good. It's really easy to use. You know, there's not a whole lot that goes into it. However, you can only open one account at a time, and it doesn't offer any incentive for retirement accounts like its big competitor, Acorn.
Robinhood is designed a little more, or it seems to be used a little more for folks who want to trade a little more frequently. Folks who, you know, maybe there's a company they really like and they're just really excited about it. They want to buy some shares, you know, see if it goes up and, you know, dump it later. Or like you mentioned, it also does cryptocurrencies, which are, you know, wax and wane in popularity, it seems, on a daily basis. But it's great for individual stocks as well. And then you said Acorn. I used that once a long time ago, but I just didn't stick with it. So how long have you been using it?
Only a couple weeks right now. So easy way to describe Acorn, it's like robo advisor meets an automated savings tool. So it's like it does the work for you, but it has an option to automatically reinvest your spare change, you know, the additive and long time thought of, you know, saving your spare change and putting it to use. So what this does, it has a feature called roundup feature. And this feature essentially takes the remainder of each dollar spent and deposits in your investment account. So say you go to the gas station, you buy a Snickers, and you have $1.75 for a Snickers. It will take that 25 cents remaining for that $2 and put it into your investment account. It takes until about $5, I believe it is, until the transaction actually goes through. So it automatically builds up the spare change to $5. Once it hits $5, it deposits in your account and will begin investing for you.
But I think one of the cool things about that is that a lot of times, if you are trying to keep track of your spending in your head, it's a lot easier just to round up that spending. So say, I was like, okay, I know I purchased a Snicker. It was about $2. I know I got lunch. That was about $13. It's a lot easier to keep track of those whole numbers. And so then you know that all that spare change is going to your investments. And like you said, that happens with every transaction. So say you're making, you know, 10 transactions a week in your bank account, which wouldn't be that unusual. And that, you know, you're going to expect an average of maybe around 50 cents per transaction goes. And so that's $5 right there. And that's $5 a week that you start saving. And I believe you had mentioned earlier that there are some fees on the account. They charge $1 to $3 a month because they do all the investing for you and they handle bringing in that money and those transactions. But for college students, they have a pretty appealing offer, right?
Right. So if you register with Acorns under a EDU email address, a verified EDU email address, you essentially get 4 years of zero transaction cost. So you're not charged a month the $1, $2, or $3 fee that otherwise applies to non-college students. So this is a way to attract new investors into using Acorns and put those spare money spent, you know, on the weekends or whatever, going towards a useful purpose. And I think it's nice too, because it allows you to link more than one card. It allows you to bring in the one card you have. It may be a debit card or credit card, and you can do multiple at a time, as opposed to Robinhood, where it only allows you to open one account at a time.
And now Acorn, that fee can kind of add up for someone who is not a college student. So one thing to keep in mind is, you know, how much are you putting in on a regular basis? Because you can also tell it to add extra money. You can say, well, I want to put in, you know, not only my change, but also $20 a week or $20 every 2 weeks. And so you can tell it to invest more. And Acorn, again, as the name implies, this is designed for small amounts. But that $1 to $3 fee per month will really add up. So if a college student ends up putting an average of $5 in a week for their four-year career, and it grows a little, say it grows at about 6% a year, that's going to come out to about, they've put in about $1,000, and it's going to end up being about $1,200, $1,300 at the end of 4 years. And if you're being charged, say, a dollar a month on each of that, that's a $12 fee. That's about 1%. That's not a crazy high fee, but for something that is only doing investment and may not be providing personalized investment advice, that may be a little high. So just bear in mind how much you're putting in, and are you making that fee worth it? For a larger account, then that could be a very reasonable fee to be paying.
So one thing that's really cool about Acorns is that it has two different platforms. One is called the core account, and the other is the later account. So this allows you to incorporate a IRA account or any type of retirement savings account as well. But the point here is that the Acorns core account charges a $1 fee a month up until a certain amount, and $2 for the Acorn later. So you're able to add to these different platforms and, you know, look towards your future, however it might cost you a little bit.
That's right. So, and that was, I believe there was another app called Vault. I don't know if it's still separate from Acorn, but that's what Acorn bought, and that's what allowed them to start opening up other retirement accounts, other types of accounts. And so that's great for once you get out of college, once you have your first job, and you need to start saving money for longer term goals, those IRAs, you know, maybe you're a freelancer and want a SEP IRA to kind of maximize your tax deduction there. Maybe you're just getting started and you want a Roth IRA because you're in a low tax bracket and what have you. Then those different types of accounts offer you just different ways to save with different benefits.
So as Vault's primarily centered towards the retirement crowd, as Acorn can be towards college students. So say you're a freelance, as Ryder mentioned, or you're self-employed, work from home or whatever, you don't have the benefit of having your employer set aside a certain amount of money for you each month to go towards your retirement plan. This is a way to incorporate that for your self-employed business or whatever you may do. It allows you to steer a percentage of your income, whether it's, you know, check or whatever account you're using, directly into this account. It allows you to automatically save for retirement. It's easy to use, it's qualified, offers some great investment advice. And it's also, you know, if you have any trouble, you can contact customer service, as Acorns actually has been a big problem for.
And so a similar app that we're just going to mention here is Stash. That allows you to kind of search and invest in ETFs, kind of customize your own portfolio. But a similar concept there of where you put in money on a regular basis, it's largely app-based. And they have a 0.25% fee, I know, once your account grows beyond beyond $5,000.
Right.
But below that, it's a dollar a month, which again, just keep in mind how much that dollar a month ends up being.
So one thing about these platforms that is enticing users is that some of them offer some great advice, and some of them offer, you know, pre-vetted stocks, opportunities, or whatever. And this is one thing that Stash does really well. You know, it utilizes a MarketWatch and Yahoo Finance platform that brings in, you know, some solid investing advice data, whereas, you know, some of the aforementioned apps do not, you know. So it makes it, you know, easier to use if you're unsure of investing and you're very new to the game.
Exactly. And so now we've talked about investing, but where are you going to get that money to invest? You've got to work out a budget for yourself. So there's a handful of apps that are also good at budgeting and kind of managing your cash flow. A really big one, their web interface is really great. Mint allows you to track any spending accounts you have. It allows you to track any savings accounts you have, any loan accounts that you have. I used to use it pretty faithfully to kind of get myself on budget. I've kind of got my budgeting down now, so I use it a lot less often. But it does have my mortgage in it. It has a car loan in it. It has bank accounts. It has credit cards. And it also allows you to see your credit score every couple of months, I believe.
Yeah, and so one thing with Mint that's really beneficial is it offers the privilege of sending you alerts each month when these bills are come to be paid. So if there, you won't be forgetting your bills anymore. And I believe this is a map made by Intuit, so it's very well done. Yes. I think there are approximately like 20 million users. And, you know, it allows you to incorporate PayPal accounts, credit cards, and any other sorts of accounts into it that makes it very, very user-friendly.
Absolutely. And it allows, their big thing is their budgeting features. And it allows you to categorize every transaction as it comes in, and it'll start to automatically categorize those. And then it fits those into your budget, which you set your budget. And then it can give you alerts. You know, say, oh, you spent too much on clothes shopping. You spent too much on groceries or dining out this month. And so it gives you alerts to kind of help keep you in line with your budget. So while sticking to a budget can be hard, if you're trying to do it, this is a great app to actually help you along the way. And a couple of other things, Simple is actually a bank account. It started out as kind of an app-based bank, and it is FDIC insured, but it connects a card. You get a debit card for it. But it keeps track of when you have bills due. So it always displays to you what is a safe to spend amount in your account so that you don't have the problem of, you know, looking at your account, seeing that you have $100, spending $50, and then the next day having that $50 hit, but also say a $75 bill that you had forgotten about. So it tells you how much you can safely spend, coordinating that with money you have coming into your account and money you have automatically leaving your account. And two more that we saw when we were doing this research. One is Vault Budget Planner, which I came across because we were looking at another app called Vault. But that allows you to see all of your expenses on a monthly basis, on a calendar basis, so you can see how your cash flow is going to be over time. So you know, you can look at your bank account, you can look at the calendar they have and know when you're going to be low in your bank account. And so you can know, you know, how to space out your spending in that way. And another great one is You Need a Budget, YNAB. And it is a budgeting method, but they also have a companion app now. And I have some friends who use it, and they love it because it shows them the age of their money. So the idea being that you don't want to have to be relying on your next paycheck to come in to have money to spend. You want to be confident that you can spend the money that you have. You want to be confident that you have the money that you need to spend. And so when you use less than your entire paycheck, then some of that money sits in your bank account and it ages. And so ultimately you want to be saving enough so that you're spending last month's paycheck or the paycheck before last month or so on. And so that lets you know not only that you have several months of paychecks already saved up that you haven't spent yet, and so you have room in your budget to spend, but they also give every dollar a job. So that when you look at your bank account, it's not that you're looking at, okay, so I have $1,000 to spend. Because some of those dollars are already kind of pledged to different things. Some of those dollars are going to go to your utilities. Some of those dollars are going to go to your gas or your groceries. So it does show you that you have how many dollars you have left for specific budget categories.
So as you can probably notice, all of these apps that we've been talking about are digital transactions. So cash is no longer, you know, a big player in today. So say you're going out to dinner with, exactly, you know, me, Ryder, and I, you know, he buys me dinner. I'm not going to give him cash. So this kind of transitions into our next idea of money sharing app. So this involves like apps like Venmo and Cash App, PayPal, etc.
I kind of feel like I'm an old person because I still use PayPal a lot and everyone uses Venmo and Cash App these days. But Venmo is just another brand of PayPal, and Cash App is just another brand of Square.
Right.
And PayPal and Square are both payment processors. PayPal is a lot more full-featured. Square you often see in small shops. They are a very low-cost way for someone to start accepting credit cards. And Cash App is a way for just people like you and I to send money
right.
to each other using our debit cards.
Right. You buy me dinner, I send you money on Cash App.
Exactly. And it hits your debit card, and so it probably comes out of your bank account the next day.
Right.
Whereas PayPal has always had allowed for folks to have carry a balance on PayPal. And then they started allowing you to have PayPal credit. So they will extend you credit. So you can spend, you know, you can spend $100 that you don't have. You just have to pay, make sure you pay that bill at the end of the month. And if you don't, you have interest due on it. You can link your PayPal to debit cards, credit cards, bank accounts. So it allows you to spend out of a lot of accounts. And they also have some features for internet security. And they also have some features allowing you to pay in some stores using that PayPal. And Venmo is just the person-to-person version of that, where you can have a balance or you can link it to your bank account and send back and forth from your bank account.
Well, actually, with PayPal and Venmo and Cash App, some of the stores are taking Cash App and Venmo also. You can go into stores and pay with those. And as attributed to PayPal, they also carry a balance too. And now what those balances are offering is the potential to have a Venmo or a Cash debit card. So you can sign up for a plan that allows you to spend out of that account, which it's pretty cool. It's kind of like an online bank. You don't even have to get registered anymore.
So these are kind of bridging a gap between, you know, the convenience of having cash, the security of having a bank account, but also the relevance of today of having it as an app on your phone. So it's a really interesting combination. And all these innovations are having, you know, like you mentioned with the debit card that you can attach to your Venmo or your Cash App account, they're just coming up with more ways for you to keep using that service. And I know Venmo and Cash App, those are great for sending money person to person. And PayPal and Square, those are used a little more commercially. Those businesses, are used a little more for interacting with businesses. And so while we're talking about just exchanging cash and buying things and, you know, splitting tabs with your friends, always, if you have credit cards, debit cards, bank accounts, just have those apps on your phone. Those are very good for security purposes and just keeping track of your spending. With your credit card or debit card app, then you can get alerts every time you spend money. You can get alerts when you spend more than a certain amount or when your balance is over a certain amount. So that's just a good way of keeping track of your money in a way that maybe those budgeting apps we mentioned aren't going to do for you. So if you have an account with somebody, you know, go ahead and use their app. It might have some very good features that you can use.
Right. By no means ditch your traditional banking app. These are all used in supplement with that. And to be able to combine both and use both together, it makes a stronger platform from a mobile device or whatever you may be using online. And, you know, trips to the bank are few and far between these days.
Absolutely. We have our phones with us all the time, and all of these apps just kind of help us keep a better eye on our finances and keep all of our finances current with us in this modern day and age.
I'm Nancy Lottridge Anderson.
And I'm Ryder Taff, and this was Money Notes.
Find us at newper.com, N-E-W-P as in Paul, E-R.com.
Call us at 888-831-3158.
And join us next time for Money Notes.
New Perspectives, Inc. is a registered investment advisor registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In no event shall anything said here be interpreted or construed as a solicitation to affect securities transactions or provide personal investment advice. A copy of New Perspectives, Inc.'s written disclosure statement is available upon request.